The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 F station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 6th of August, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron Jamaica Green. Producer, I was supposed to send you a song to play today because today is Jamaican Independence Day. And we get to support our brethren, our brothers and sisters, our cousins, our Jamaican family. We can celebrate with them today and this weekend. What I found interesting was that in Jamaica, they actually have a week-long, right? They have a week-long celebration called Emancipendence, where they start the celebration on Emancipation Day, and they sort of end on Independence Day. Emancipation Day being the 1st of August. The 1st of August, and their independence is today. So we say, Jamaica, happy birthday. We're so happy to be family with you. Also, just a little housekeeping. Today, I want to talk about this article in the Tribune about the National Investment Fund. I want to talk about traffic. I want to talk about the Health Alliance. And since we're doing some housekeeping, I want to talk briefly about garbage pickup. What's happening? Last week, a caller indicated that the area that they live in, they had an odd situation where the trucks, they came in, they started the routine, the truck enters the neighborhood and workers moves ahead of the truck and pulls the bins out, preparing them to be dumped. And the caller said that the truck came through, the worker came through and pulled the bins, but nobody had come through to pick up the garbage after several days. Well, in my neighborhood, we are going on week 3 of no garbage pickup. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm not certain which agency manages garbage pickup. Now, when I say manage, I think we have subcontracted or we've contracted out the vast majority of garbage services to private entities. I'm not sure which agency regulates, provides oversight for that sector, but there is something wrong. Let me remind you once again, we could have all kinds of dysfunction, but we cannot have dysfunction in our waste management systems. We cannot tolerate it. We cannot allow it to happen. We cannot allow it to fall to crisis levels or rise to crisis levels because it is about public health and safety. Could we have a public statement as to the status of garbage and sanitation contracts for residential homes? Please, or give us some advance notice. Let us know, the residents, that in your time of grief or tribulation, like, because I feel like the garbage system is collapsing just like the grid, right? That we need to, as our own garbage disposal temporarily, give us a word. The animal control has collapsed. And then on top of it, garbage is going to collapse. And then we're going to have a health crisis. Could somebody please, please get on top of this? See, I didn't intend for today to be a show about collapse, right? But perhaps today is a show about collapse. Because we know that traffic enforcement has collapsed in the country. Yesterday, I watched some tourists stare at the red light that would permit them to cross the intersection, you know. They stared at it until it turned green, and then they decided to cross the intersection where the cars were, that had where the green light was, right? And I thought to myself, do they have stupid gas on the cruise ships? Because so many cruise passengers coming from first world destinations get to the Bahamas and can't figure out how basic traffic controls work, right? But then this morning, I figured it out. I understand what's happening. These tourists are getting off the ship and they're interacting with Bahamian service providers and members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force that are actually instructing them to break the law. They're instructing them to do the wrong thing, right? I'm trying to figure out directing traffic at East Street and Shirley Street in the morning, like 9:40 in the morning, right? And traffic has reasonably died down. I don't pay it any mind. I just focus on the traffic, on the police officer, right? Because there's a police officer in the intersection. Ignore the light and focus on the police officer, right? So the police officer stopped traffic to allow the tourists to cross the road at the corner, 10 feet away from a pedestrian crossing. He did not, outside of the pedestrian crossing safety zone, on top of it, he didn't direct the tourists to go to the pedestrian crossing to safely cross the road and not interfere with traffic. He directed them to improperly cross the road, right? And so when they crossed the road from the north side of Shirley Street to the south side of Shirley Street, and the officer told the first car they could turn left now, the officer could not see that the tourists had entered East Street. And so he was directing the car to turn into the tourists. It's not just the traffic enforcement has collapsed. You got police officers out here directing people to do the wrong thing. Now, I'll be honest, I buck up on one little tour company yesterday, and I heard the gentleman giving the guests the instructions, like stop at the stop sign, right? But if they're going to stop at the stop sign, like Bahamians stop at the stop sign, we just got all kinds of problems, right? We still got all kinds of problems. You have police officers out here instructing people to do the wrong thing. And here's the next thing. See, because I tell you, I thought it was like stupid gas that they pumping out on the cruise ships, but I don't think that's what it is. Because I want to know, how could you be smart enough to get a job at Doctor's Hospital, but not smart enough to figure out how to cross the road? Like, you want to cross the road in the intersection onto Collins Avenue when you could go safely 20 feet in the next direction and cross the road on the pedestrian crossing. How y'all get smart enough to work at Doctor's Hospital but not smart enough to figure out how to cross the road? See, maybe that's why in the aftermath of that tragic accident, we had all kinds of people calling to no mercy and grace for the driver. It doesn't matter that he was just being criminally reckless. It doesn't matter that he was breaking the law. And none of that matters. You just grace and mercy, you know why? Because these people do the same thing on the road. They do the same thing on the road. And when it's their time, when they accidentally kill somebody, they're going to beg for the same grace and mercy as opposed to taking account for all that they did that contributed to the accident. The things are collapsing. The things that we could touch, like the bridges, are collapsing. The things that we cannot touch, like the systems, are collapsing. We're going to look at the boards and committees list for 2026-2027. We're going to look at this board to find out, did the contractors Association? Did they get the contractors board that is mandated by the Contractors Act that is required to license contractors in the Bahamas? The type of licensing that will enable Bahamian contractors to bid on and participate in large foreign direct investment projects like building new hospitals and building new roads. I don't know. Like, where is the contractors board after 10 whole years? What does the insurance do when faced with the request to insure a home that was built by somebody that does not have a contractor's license? What do you do? What happens then? We're going to continue to go through the boards and committees list throughout our conversation. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'd like to comment on the garbage collection, which you were talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
The reason why I want to comment on that, right, that mm-hmm. story sort of strange.
Mm-hmm.
What makes it strange, right, is because you realize that people who pick up the garbage, right, they get paid per bin, not for the area.
Are you serious?
If you have 10 bins to pick up, right,
mm-hmm.
and you don't pick up 10 bins, and they actually have inspectors to come through to make sure those bins were picked up from environmental health. That's really counterproductive for you not to collect the bin because you weren't getting paid for not collecting the bin.
But listen.
So they're like, well, you're getting paid per area. You get paid per bin.
I'm a little stuck and stunned. Okay, are these the remaining sanitation workers who work directly with the government, or are these contractors?
I think most of them are contractors.
Okay, so the government will pay the contractor per bin.
Per bin.
Or per home, or per residence.
No, per bin. Per bin. It's actually per bin.
So
we actually have inspectors to come to verify that those bins are actually picked up, you know. And trust me on this, they own their job. They ain't slacking up on that. They're making sure you pick up them garbage.
Where, though? Where? You know, I don't see BPL workers. I don't see inspectors. I don't see any of these people, like, in my neighborhood doing things like that. I don't ever see them.
I don't know. The inspectors probably just drive by. But I know that the only way you could get paid is if you are proof that the bins were actually picked up.
Okay.
You get paid per bin.
So are the trucks equipped with cameras
I don't know the ins and outs on that part now. Like, I know that they get paid per bin.
Because how do I challenge a discrepancy between my records as a company and what the state has documented for payment?
Well, that's a little above my pay grade, and I have no further knowledge on that part, but I know they get paid per bin.
All right, I'm going to go and investigate further to, you know, so that we could have a more substantive conversation about
The only way that they weren't paid, but the government, I think the budget was cut in July, which means that they did get paid.
No, so, what you mean that means that you did get paid?
No, if they didn't get paid, I ain't gonna lie to you, they ain't pick up the garbage now. If they didn't get paid for that month, I hardly know they can pick up the garbage.
Well, we wondering, I got a text here that says, yes, Aaron, my area marathon is also going on 3 weeks. Did garbage collection go on vacation when the house went?
They probably didn't get paid.
On vacation. We are waiting to see. And
yeah,
we hope
perfect.
We don't get to the point where we're dying to see. Thank you. Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the text line. Good day. I bet you they can get the cost of their celebrations. They're talking about Jamaica. Here's another text. Do Jamaicans big up or acknowledge Bahamians on our Independence Day in Jamaica? Well, yes, they do. I recently completed a zine, a collection of articles, right? The first article detailed the opposition's demands in 2026, the opposition demanding the expenditure report for the 2023, that's the Golden Jubilee, independence celebrations, right? So that's the first article. The second article details the Bahamian independence celebrations in London that included the National Youth Choir, ballet duet, Bahamian singers, an international singer, and a Bahari fashion show, right? And the cutting of a cake. It was a grand affair. And then I found an article detailing how the Bahamas celebrated its independence in Jamaica. They had sip and paint. I don't think it's the Jamaicans' fault. So yes, they do celebrate Bahamian independence. Jamaican Independence Day, Thursday, August the 6th, 2026. Happy 64th Independence, Jamaica. That was a text. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so I'm going to talk about traffic and before we get to the NIF story, I wanted to talk about this story in today's Guardian. Bahamas joins Alliance for Primary Healthcare in the Americas. The Ministry of Health and Wellness yesterday signed a Memorandum of Understanding and Health Organization to join the Alliance Care in the Americas. We're going to go to page 5. The Alliance is a regional initiative led by PAHO, American Health Organization, the Inter-American Development Bank, and the World Bank. It supports countries in, quote, strengthening primary health care and transforming health systems through coordinated investment, innovation, and technical cooperation. The Bahamas is the 12th country and first CARICOM state to join the initiative. Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Darvall, said the signing opens the door to focus on catastrophic care. Quote, for the last 4.5 years, we've been working in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas to strengthen primary health care. Close quotes, he said, quote, we realize that we finally have universal health care coverage, primary health care coverage by NHI. I don't know if you could say that. First of all, when did you realize a thing that doesn't exist? You can't keep the drugs for the program in stock. The NHI doctors, I mean, I don't hear them, but that doesn't mean they've stopped talking or agitating or lobbying to be paid. Then we had in 2024, we had this thing where patients on NHI who were at 10 a.m. designated public patients, patients in the public system, by 10:30 a.m., right? So you go and you see the doctor at 10, and by 10:30 a.m. when you go to pay for a service or something, by 10:30 a.m. the same day, you were designated a private patient. And in some instances, causing the fees to double, despite what is on the paper that you presented to the cashier. This is a true story. This is my story. That happened to me. I went in to see the anesthesiologist, and they gave me the sheet of paper indicating what I need to pay for and the amount it would cost. And by the time I got downstairs to the cashier, I was no longer a public patient because they just changed the whole NHI system without telling the patients. I don't know if you're already, right? It's just like for yesterday's show, we talking all things BPL. All things BPL and their inability to move at the pace of their own policies, I found this article that just stunned the life out of me. IDB report, Bahamas among Caribbean leaders, in maritime energy transition readiness. That's one of them. Yeah, like, what do you mean we are among the leaders in readiness? We can't transition and we ain't ready. Right, like, so juxtapose the CEO of Bahama Grid Company telling people in the face of not complaints, but reports about their inability to provide a continuous electrical service. This guy can look at us and tell us we should go to the beach because it's so beautiful here. And on the 4th of August, this day before yesterday, IDB report, Bahamas among Caribbean leaders in maritime energy transition readiness. If we are among the leaders, what's the rest of the region doing? Anyway, the article is very pragmatic. It says the Bahamas is emerging as one of the Caribbean's most prepared countries for the maritime energy transition, but the introduction of shoreside power and green fuel bunkering at the Nassau Container Port remains a medium-term opportunity requiring additional infrastructure planning and investment, according to a new Inter-American Development Bank Commission study, right? So the study is called One Caribbean Ports, Readiness for Shoreside Power and Green Fuel Bunkering. Let me tell you something. It is offensive, and it should be offensive to all Bahamians, right? That the government is even entertaining conversations about maritime shoreside power and green fuel bunkering. You can't keep the power on in the hospital. At some point, you have to focus on the needs of the citizens. At some point, right? The Bahamas joins Alliance for Primary Healthcare in the Americas to prepare us for catastrophic care. That concerns me because the Minister of Health, also the Prime Minister, that the amendments to the international health regulations, right, that speak to what countries could possibly do if there's another global pandemic, right, that the amendments are ready, but you have not told the citizens what the amendments are. And now you've joined the Alliance for Primary Healthcare in the Americas to focus on, we go back to page 5, to focus on catastrophic care. Then we still need a lot of focus on primary healthcare. And then we have this beautiful article, PMH Kitchen Delayed After $5 million drainage issue found. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
I heard you talking about garbage collections. And I would like to comment, I don't know who the people are in charge of collecting garbage and fire estate, but I could say we have been getting good service, and we have been getting garbage trucks picked up in Pride Estate at least twice a week, nonstop, for years.
But have you seen a recent change in the schedule?
No, ma'am. Sometime in the day, sometime in the night, they come in Pride Estate. I don't know because we named Pride. But you got to have pride to live in Pride Estate. It's a beautiful government subdivision. We have one or two people that bring their habits with them from the other places. That what I don't understand is the governments of the Bahamas have tried to make these beautiful little subdivisions, and they move us out of let's refer to it as the ghetto area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And some people bring their ghetto attitude with them. Small property, only 51 by 7, and inside that is a 3-bedroom home. So you only have yards, a little small yard in the front to park one car, and maybe a little piece in the back of the car to park another car. And on the side, you can plant some trees in the front, on the sides and everything. Mm-hmm. And they will bring the same attitude from McCullough Corner, Nassau Village, down to the new subdivision. And now the next thing you know, you see a mechanic got 10 cars in the front, out in the road, 5 inside the yard, 6 in the back, some on top of one another, some with no fender, no nothing, just sitting there. And you say, man, why are you doing that to this beautiful area? Your house is next to mine. You're making me look bad.
Yeah, I blame the government.
This is my yard. If I want 20 cars in my yard, I go.
No, see, that's the problem right there, Sparky. You hit the nail on the head. No, you can't. If you want 20 cars in your yard, you could have. No, you can't. It's a lack of enforcement. There's already protocols in place for that. Department of Environmental Health comes through, they do whatever the investigation is, they mark the car to be towed, and somebody's supposed to come and move it. I blame government for that. Let me tell you what else I blame government for, Sparky. The government provides oversight for practically everything that happens in the country, including the building of homes, even though we still don't have a contractors board after 10 years after the passing of the Contractors Act. But that's an aside. Why have we not mandated that every home must have a structure to store garbage safely until the garbage people could come for it? Put it in law. The same way, like Bermuda in law, you got to have water catchment systems on your house. And then they help the people, the older homes, they help them to align with the new law through subsidies and financial and in-kind support. Yeah? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And it's even worse than that, because if you are the government and you are actively divesting yourself of these services, surely you would put in place legislation to protect the consumer in the new regime. Right? Now to the next thing. Let's not be casting slurs and aspersions on people from the inner city, because I know lots of upper class and upper middle class people who live in wonderful communities that do not use proper materials, proper bags to take out their garbage. I know some people, they just put the garbage wholesale in the bin. They just pile it up in their hand and take it outside and throw it in the bin. These people are living in beautiful neighborhoods, right? I blame government as well. No, I don't blame government. I blame the MPs, the parties. I blame the parties and the MPs at the constituency level. Because you know how easy it is to identify vendors in your constituency and ask them to contribute, right, or to provide you a discount on bags, or to get the cabinet to put a waiver, right, or to remove the VAT and duty from garbage bags for home garbage disposal, so that the constituency can then provide homes in the constituency for the proper disposal of waste. It's also, I mean, this is another situation I live in with too. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, Paula. Turn your radio down for me.
Good morning. I have an issue, too. You have this property 50 by 100.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and people have tendency to plant the coconut tree on the boundary. The coconut tree root in their yard, and all of these coconut leaf and coconut dropping in your yard. If I wanted a coconut tree, I would have planted the coconut tree.
Mm-hmm.
These things are dangerous in hurricane season.
Yep.
Okay. But I went to environmental health and they say they can't do nothing. They have to carry the person to court and all that kind of stuff. And they have one plant in the front now, but the tree in their yard and it's leaning towards my yard. What could I do about that, please?
Okay. If the tree is encroaching on your property, then you are allowed to cut off the part of the tree that's on your property. So you may have to pay, and you may have to pay extra because they're going to have to do the work that is in the neighbor's yard. But you have the right to cut off, or cut down whatever is encroaching on your yard. And that's what they have to do.
There should be some rule that your property only 50 by 100. You shouldn't be putting a coconut tree on the boundary. Listen, put it near to your house.
Listen, let me tell you how lost on the plantation we are, right? We live in a hurricane zone. So if I were a benevolent dictator, first of all, could I ever be benevolent? But if I were a benevolent dictator, right?
Yeah.
I would pass a law, because we live in a hurricane zone,
mm-hmm,
that you will be fined. And the fine will be attached to your house, so you can't sell your house. Or the fine will be attached to your license, so you can't renew your license, right?
Yeah.
You will be fined if your tree is not trimmed back. Your trees are not trimmed back sufficiently to the standard for hurricane season. Now, I'm going to help. See, I'm a benevolent dictator, right? So what I'm going to do is every constituency will identify the underemployed and the unemployed able-bodied people in the constituency. You will form a small cooperative or a company so that the people who are trimming trees have the insurance necessary to do it. And you're going to pay people, you're going to employ people in your community throughout the year. All they're doing is identifying homes that need trees to be trimmed. And if the homeowner cannot afford to do it themselves, this team composed by the constituency or facilitated by the constituency office will come in and trim the trees, right? And mm-hmm. the waste then belongs to them. And with the mulches and the other types of equipment that's available and affordable, that they will then turn that yard trash into money. Right? See, because why? Because we live in a hurricane zone. And the what we supposed to be, remember when Frankie Campbell said, the first 6 months of the year, I focus on my business?
Mm.
The most foolishness. Okay. For the first 6 months of the year, focus on preparing for the hurricane. And for the next 6 months of the year, focus on making sure people could restore themselves after a hurricane. Because we live in a hurricane zone.
Okay. So what happened now if my property get damaged from coconut during this hurricane season?
Well, the problem is, unless you, like me, and you can climb in the neighbors and all the trees around you and label them, I can label the coconuts. Mr. Major Coconut, number 10. Mr. Francis Coconut, 11 through 45. I can label them. So when the coconut enter my house, I can pick it up and say, oh, I know who it belonged to. Otherwise, we in problems, right? Which is why you would have thought that the insurance sector, right, and the disaster, that they would be thinking about these things.
I think they need to start making laws where you shouldn't plant coconut trees on property 50 by 100.
I appreciate that too. This is what I'm saying. That's a great point. And if we had centered the survival of citizens, right, and the quality of life of citizens in a hurricane zone, if we'd centered that in our governance, we'd have come up with that idea a long time.
Thank you, Ms. Murray.
No, man, absolutely. Not just that. We heard of what you said yesterday. I love how you cuss in comedy, but you're the one. You're the one, right, that inspired these young men to just go out and do whatever they need to do in the pursuit of selling coconuts when you had the opportunity to create a coconut industry the same way the Minister of Health say government plotting the way forward with medical cannabis industry, right? That's the word, industry. You could have created an industry, right? And then what we could have done, just like the man said, right? If your house is 50 by 100, you can't have the coconut tree. If you got a large property, you can't have the coconut tree near the boundaries, right? So that they less risk to your home and a greater risk to neighboring homes. You can't have it by the road where cars drive and potentially people park, right? You would have created an industry. And so as the trees die, you cut them down, you can't grow them again. Then you would have identified and designated crown land for the purpose of growing coconut trees to support, to feed, pun intended, a blooming coconut industry. And then you would have ensured that the Ministry of Agriculture had a coconut mulching machine so that we could produce almost, 45 to 52 different types of soil products and agricultural products from the coconut husks, right? And then you would have assured that BAIC constructed a unit to facilitate the production of coconut shell craft. And then you would have ensured that GRAC, that's the processing center, had the equipment for people to begin adding value to coconut products. You would have created an industry like they're trying to do with cannabis. Let's go to the text line. Good morning. While on Harold Road, I damaged the inner rim of my left rear wheel heading to Milo Butler roundabout from Christie Avenue opposite BPL pole 5706. The edge of the road has a sudden drop from a hole there. Ministry of Works, you're up. Also, while you're at it, could you attend to Adley Street? That's between Bernard Road and Johnson Road. There are a number of those spots where the road just kind of disappears. And because of the narrowness of the road, the fact that it's a walking community, and then the general way that people drive there, you're at risk of tearing off a tire, falling into one of those holes. All right, when we get back from the break, I want to read from this article in the Nassau Tribune. Concerned safeguards made meaningless in investment fund $265 million. We're on the clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and night. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. Complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Great awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Before we get back into the show, let me remind you, Guardian Radio and the Guardian Media Group want to send you away for the summer with the Great Summer Escape Giveaway. You could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and tune into Guardian Radio. And follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. The Guardian Media Group, Great Summer Escape Giveaway, deadline to enter August 12th, drawing August 14th. Still got a few more days. Don't forget, Sunday the place closed, Saturday the place closed. Get it in today and tomorrow and next week. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Aaron, why is it that out on West Bay Street in front of Bahama, the crew that be cutting the median, why is it that they close the eastbound lane and the westbound lane simultaneously, blocking traffic as if their job is more important than the general public?
The landscapers?
Yeah. I think there's one side, you know, about as far as they could. They come down the other way, hit the other side. I mean, who would allow a gardening crew to literally shut down two lanes of road every day?
But are they're not shutting, because it's a bit muffled. They're not shutting down both lanes heading in the same direction.
I'm saying to you is, from either direction, they make it a one-way. Mm-hmm. Then you have cars piled up, like one person's job is better than the other. The ones who are cleaning the median.
No, that's not what it is. In this instance, it's you know, when the prime minister say, "Yeah, man, you may have couple roadblock, you may get delayed."
No.
Hold on,
listen.
Hold on. Listen, let me make the point. They actually doing the right thing. Like all the cones, like they Bahama must have all the cones in the Bahamas, right?
No, what I'm saying to you is, Aaron, common sense, you shut down one lane on one way, and the road is long, okay? You can hit one side, and then you finish that side, you come on the next side, you close that one lane. Sometimes I'm literally going through.
Okay. However, this is an instance where we have been, where we have normalized a lack of protocol and a lack of adherence to standards. What you're seeing happening at Bahama when they're conducting the landscaping exercises and they put the cones out on one side, so if they're cutting the inner median, they restrict traffic on both sides to the outer median. You know why? So that if any debris becomes airborne, it's less likely to hit your vehicle because at the very least, we've moved you as far away from the median as possible.
Aaron.
The fact is that the BPL workers, the BTC, Cable Bahamas workers, the Flow workers, right? The public works workers, that none of these people are actually following the standard. None of them are putting out the signs like Bahama workers put out the signs. None of them are putting out the cones for the length, right? Because you're giving drivers the time to slow down as they approach the restricted zone. That the truth is, as frustrating as it may be, the truth is Bahama is following the standard that protects the citizens and protects the
and
workers.
Inconvenience the general public. That's what you're telling me. Aaron.
Yes. No, it does make sense. Sir, stop. It does make sense. See, because we now speaking about this a month after the beaches and parks worker was killed on JFK. No signage, no cones, no lights, restricting traffic, slowing down traffic, and moderating driving as they approach the work site. Nothing. In fact, I still wondering if the boy was wearing slippers while he was working. The truth is, in this particular instance, this is the type of patience that we need. When we don't practice these things, then we get the tragic death of 5 young people on Shirley Street because there were active roadworks taking place. Pardon?
We are talking on West Bay, you know, you're on Shirley Street. Aaron, come.
Sir, you are unable to keep up? You cannot connect the dots? You don't follow Rasta? Rasta show you how to overstand and connect the dots. They're all connected. The Shirley Street crash, there were active roadworks taking place. The road had been cut out in preparation for paving. There was no indication of road markings. There were no street signs. There were no public notices. There were no lights. There were no bollards. There was nothing. But you telling us that what Bahama is doing is a problem when they're doing the right thing. The Munnings Road death. A barrier had been erected without following the proper protocols for a change in the road alignment, right? The JFK beaches and parks death. Also, as far as I'm concerned, contributing factor is the lack of safety mechanisms in place to protect the worker. And here you are complaining to me and the whole world that Bahama doing the right thing by erecting the right amount of cones, by restricting one lane of traffic to prevent injury for pedestrians, drivers, tourists, and the workers is the problem? See, you know what you would talk about have paid random road checks, which are just an excuse, right? A road check is just a roadblock with another name. And your prime minister told you should be prepared to be delayed for 2 to 3 hours for the purpose of a road check, which is just an illegal roadblock. And all they're doing is looking for license and insurance while people driving past them on their cell phone, no seatbelt on, running the stop sign and the red light right next to them. But we must be patient for 2 to 3 hours to endure what is essentially an illegal roadblock. Yeah, man, no, man. That's what to do. Wow. That's what to do, caller. Good morning, Ms. Green. Sorry, but BAIC is a waste of time. Don't mention them. Good morning, Aaron. There's a law for trees to be 3 foot or more from property borders. Just no enforcement. All my life growing up, the service providers, government, as when I was a children, government workers would remind us that the first 10 feet of the property should be free of any obstruction like trees, walls, bollards, so that government services could come in and do what they need to do. Morning, Aaron. That caller like lawlessness. That's how our country got him lost, because the right thing was done. Oh, my Bahamians, don't listen and overstand then. Good morning, Ms. Green. After a police officer was charged with driving as he went into the oncoming traffic, a prison bus did the same to me a few days ago along with a police jeep. Okay, prison bus. And there's a police jeep with it? You're talking about a prison convoy, which is essentially an emergency vehicle. And the rules change, right? The rules change. That's why you can't be driving with headphones in your ears and your windows up and your music blasting or your face in your phone. Like yesterday morning, I could hear the prison convoy coming from way down the Eastern Road, way down Shirley Street, whether they came from Village Road or off the Eastern Road. And as I was approaching the Shell gas station where the road narrows, I picked up speed so that at least when they hit that area, I wouldn't be there blocking them in. You think the magistrate vehicle in front of me was paying attention to anything? I pulled off safely, completely off the road at Harbor Bay entrance because I timed it and I figured out where I could get off the road. Magistrate, not so much. I get back on the road. I get past the magistrate's vehicle. I stop at the Kemp Road light. This woman on her phone live. I don't know what she was doing. I had to say to her, miss, put your phone down. The police convoy just passed us. And the magistrate right behind you. Prison convoys are emergency vehicles. Don't play with them. Get out the way. Anyway, tomorrow, maybe, you have read this. Concerned safeguards made meaningless in investment fund $265 million drawdown. That's the National Investment Fund, where funds are put in it for investment. I wonder what, no explanation for government tapping. Sovereign Wealth Fund. You guys have a great day. No.
Jam into the reggae beat, dance to the rhythm and move your feet. I feel it, boy, sweet Jamaica.
If you love Jamaica, let me see your hand. Raise it to the sky.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.